Father, forever, worship Lord.
And thank only you, by your love,
we
Father,
worship you.
That I can change, Jesus.
Thank you for your love, Jesus.
Father, hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you,
glorify you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise we worship Jesus. You. Of it all.
Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah.
You are
hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We magnify you. We glorify you.
Bless your name, God.
It's none like you, Jesus.
Wonderful you are.
Worthy.
Your love.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be worshipfully seated. Hallelujah. Glory. Have you come expecting, ready to receive? Hallelujah. Myself as well. I have a friend here that I'm looking for. I have a bunch of friends here, but Mitzi, where are you at? There she is. My friend, Mitzi Lee, come on down. She lives next door to me. You wish you had a blessing like this live next door to you. Isn't she lovely? Hallelujah. Would you believe that she's not only lovely, but she can sing? When she heard about us having this meeting, she said, I'll just come over and sing for you. How about that? I said, that would be great. Hallelujah. She goes to Japan every year and spends several months there. And she can say a little bit about that. But her and Dave were in the back room comparing notes. He goes over now, has ministry over in Japan. And so she goes over there and ministers and sings. And she went over there years ago, and they heard her voice, and they kidnapped her. And they said, you've got to stay. You got to stay. Come back each year. So please welcome her once again. Hallelujah. She's going to sing. Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I was so glad when they said unto me, let us all go into the house of the Lord. Praise him. Thanksgiving in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls. Give him all that you have. Because if you have not Jesus in your life, Lord, we're going to have to pray for you and pray very hard. It's just a matter of time. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for my lying down last night and my early rising this morning. And I'm thankful that when I got up, I had a roof over my head. I had some shoes to put on my feet. And he blessed me with some food on my table. Hallelujah. And I'm so grateful. I won't complain. I won't complain because he gave me life, health, and strength, and he gives it to me abundantly. And if you go nigh to him, he will come nigh to you and give you what you need. My mother used to tell us, we're not too big for our wants to hurt. Oh, I want this, mama, and I want that, daddy. He said, I guess you do. But you need, this is what you need. You need Jesus. And that's all that I have. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around, I begin to think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Although the clouds hang low, I can hardly see the road. I ask a question, Lord. Why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although these weary eyes, they can't see. So I just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God is good to me. God, he's been good to me. Better than anyone on this earth could ever be. God, he's good. He dried my tears away. Turned my midnight into day. So late in the midnight hour, when I'm down on my knees, I say, thank you, Lord, for food on my table. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my children safe. Thank you, Lord, for being a bridge over troubled water. Thank you, Lord. He's my doctor, good God Almighty. He's my lawyer. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Cause God, Lord, he's been good to me. God, God is good to me. Thank you, Jesus. Better than anyone on this town. Better than anyone on Amakalia. Better than anyone on this earth could ever be. God, he's good. He's right. My tears away. Turn my midnight into day. So I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me hear you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we complain just because the day is Thursday. You better take that day that God give you and use it. Because a lot of people that laid down last night didn't get up this morning. We're on the green side of the ground. A young lady said, why you always smiling? I'm like, well, where you come from? Do you think it's all about you? You didn't make it here. You think you made it to your job because you're a safe driver? You think you got a job because you meet some type of qualifications? You think it's about you because you shop at Dillard's or Nordstrom's? You think you got here just because it's all about you and you a supervisor? Let me tell you who the boss is. You better don't complain. Don't complain. Encourage one another. Be thankful for the day. Because tomorrow's not promised to you. Do what you got to do today. Walk right today. Don't just have God up in here. You got to have him all down around in here. And in your soul and in your belly. You got to walk right. You got to talk right. You got to love right. You got to live right. Just because you know some scriptures and where this is and where that is, you ain't no better than nobody else. I'm going to sing one more song for you. Hi, baby. Okay. All right. How many of you are grateful for the day? If you're grateful for the day, let me hear you say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to sing one day at a time. I'm only human. I'm just a woman. Lord, help me believe in what I can be, in all, Lord, that I am. Show me the stairway, Lord, that I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Do you remember when we walked the street among all kind of men? Oh, Lord. Well, Jesus, I know you're looking down below. It's worse tonight than it was back then. People are pushing and shoving, Lord. Yeah, they're crying in my mind. Oh, oh, oh. For my sake, help me, see, Lord, to take one day at a time. Come on, everybody. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus, that is all I'm asking from you. Oh, Lord, give me the strength to do everything you assigned my hand to do, Lord. Yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus. And tomorrow may never be mine, Lord. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Now I'm going to tell you what you do. Listen here. On Monday, he gave me the gift of love. And on Tuesday, he came from above. And on Wednesday, he told me to watch and pray. And on Thursday, he started me on my way. And on Friday, he gave me a little more grace. And on Sunday, he started me on my way. On Sunday, he gave me the power divine just to let my little light shine. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that is all that I'm asking from you, Lord. Lord, give me the strength to do everything you put me here to do. Yesterday, Lord, is gone, sweet Jesus. And tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time.
You have albums, CDs.
Yes.
Did you bring any with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tonight, when you're leaving,
yes,
they got to go out that door.
Okay.
You stand in front of that door.
Me.
It means you got to come by her.
Yes.
And she'll tell you what you can bless her with, yes, for those CDs.
$10.
Okay. God bless you. Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
I want to say to all of you while you're here, pray for the families of the young people that were lost. Pray for them. Pray for a healing for Immokalee.
That's right.
God bless us. That's going to bring us closer together. Okay? They need help. They need prayer. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Would you just lift those hands up a little bit and just worship. Father, we just praise you. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you guys go ahead and put these out? Hi. 17 years ago, I met Dave Roberson, and he was the same age then that I am now. He was 53, and so I'll be 54 in January. He was walking in power then, but he was also breaking a lot of hard scriptures and just line on line teaching and foundational things and really opening up some things to the body of Christ that most of us had never, ever heard. I mean, just never, ever heard. Just real strong teaching. You could sit in his services in line after line, and we were going, my God, where does this man get this stuff from? Well, in 17 years, I've watched a transition take place, and it's been for the betterment of the body of Christ. He can still, if the Holy Spirit leads him that way, as he says about some of us guys, he can teach the hind leg off a dog. That you got to be good. He can do that still. But what I've watched myself, having been around so much of his ministry, all that foundation that us guys now, the ones that he trained, and now we've taken that and begin to build on that and build it, go there from there and teach great series off of it. And when I go to Tulsa, I teach at his conference, and a lot of other guys that he's trained, they do the same. But God is using him in a way that we see very little of in the final hour. We'll see more. There's more men like him. He's not the only one. But he's become a living epistle, seen and read of all men. That the things that he's taught us, now he's actually walking in. But you know the amazing part? Here's the amazing part. Us guys, and I'm not the only one, there's many of us, that us guys that begin to take those foundational teachings and teach on them, we found out we couldn't teach on them and walk in them that we didn't run into the same power. The same power. And you know this Family Prayer Center, and I say this all to the glory of God, the power that's working in here tonight and all week, that was here before Pastor Dave came. Now it goes up a notch. But for years it's been working just like that, and it'll be here after he leaves. When the guys that are ministering with me, and Miss Barbara, and different ones, would you believe it that when I ask somebody to raise their hands like he does, and there's one arm shorter than the other, they've watched it time and time again. When I say Jesus, would you believe it? It grows for me just like it grows for him. They've watched it time and time again. I've set people in chairs, and I said, in Jesus, would you believe it? It'll do it for me. He'll do it for me just like he does it for you. Why are you saying that? To glorify yourself? Oh, no. It works for whoever. Whoever. We've had countless. We can't even count the handkerchiefs that we've sent off, and people have wrote us back and says, I was healed of cancer. Our people have watched me with a whisper cast out devils. Make no fanfare about it. Just devils leave like that. Because that's how he trained me. We had a sister just before the conference. She moved. She'd love to be here, been here. She testified to all of us. She had brain tumors all through her sinuses, x-rayed. We prayed. I laid my finger on there and cursed those things. Would you believe that she went to the doctor and they couldn't find any of them? He did that for you, Pastor Brock? Yeah. Same way he does for Pastor Dave. Same way he'll do for you. When he started teaching on extended worship, I went into extended worship and found out that it not only created in something inside of me, it created an atmosphere of places where I went. I stepped out in the street one day, and almost for practical purposes, it wasn't quite this bad, but almost, I had two sinners standing there talking to me, and they about fell out. And I wasn't even having service. One of them just said, "Would you pray for my foot?" And I went to pray for them, and they both went, "Oh," they felt the presence. What are you saying? This way that we're in, all that we're talking about, everything that he's showing you. I've trained other men. I've trained Homer, but Homer's also been trained under Pastor Dave. He's ordained under him, and it works for Homer. One of his disciples called me today. How many of you know who Carl Ellie is? The family does here. Carl was, he just come off a fasting time, and Carl's a graduate student at Louisiana Monroe. Homer went out last year and watched him graduate, and now he's in his master's program and will graduate in December. And he said, he had some questions that he was asking me, and I was telling him what I know. And he was telling me that the Bible study that's on campus that he started, he says it's up to about 100 students. And he's gotten almost all of them filled with the Spirit. He's given out 70 of Dave's books. He works at a boys' home. That he goes over there 3 or 4 days a week and sleeps over there. And these are juvenile delinquents. And he's got about 30 of them filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he's training them, and he's had them watching Pastor Dave on YouTube, and he's training them to get other young men. They call it, he says, the young guys there, they call it the swag language. Pastor Dave, you know what swag is? He goes, that's your, Homer, how can I help in the moxie? Homer says, I don't know how to get it over today. That's your mock, you're cool, you know. They call it their swag, and he says, they'll say, Mr. Carl, so-and-so wants to get his swag language. Can you help us? What are you saying? I'm saying this works for everybody. There are more Bronc Flints in Brazil. There are more in Japan. Dave's going into those places. Would you help send him there? Train those guys, because this works for everybody. It works for everybody. 17 years from now, he'll be running around like a spring chicken, 90 years old. I'll be 70-something. He'll be saying, do it like I showed you, boy. Would you pray and ask God what he'd have you to give tonight, helping him go into the nations of the world, train other ministers to be what all of us can be, and that's to walk in power. How many of you know he didn't say the preacher walk in power? He said, you go, the church, lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover. Sammy, you're here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is it all right if you stand up? Could you come up here? Isn't this guy handsome? Now, could you just tell us what happened to you the other night? Just real briefly. You don't have to go into a whole lot, but just tell us what happened.
It's amazing, first of all. When he sat me on the chair, you know, picked my legs up, you know, it showed that my foot was off. And I've been told that by the doctors.
How long, let me start out this, how long had you, what to start with, what was it that was wrong with your back?
Nothing could really, they don't know. It was just years of strain.
And for how many years had you been in pain?
10 years.
10 years. And had you had a recent operation?
Yes. I had a discectomy, a disc replacement.
Did that help?
No, not at all. It made it worse.
Okay. So when he put you in the chair, go on from there.
Yeah, when he put me in the chair, you know, I've been told that one of my legs or my pelvis is rotated by an inch, you know, or almost an inch. And when he pulled my leg out, I felt something in my back just, like, snap, you know. Yeah. When he picked me up off that chair, you know, it still kind of hurt. But when he sent me on my way, every step I kept taking, you know, the first step it hurt. The second step it hurt less. The third step, it kept going away. By the time I got to my chair, I didn't want to stop walking. I went all the way around. I couldn't stop crying. I went out to church and I just started running.
This is the guy that Marty comes and says, there's a guy that was prayed, the guy that was prayed for is in the parking lot doing cartwheels. I said, okay, wonderful. Now he said, no, he's really doing cartwheels. Sammy, thanks a lot for coming. We appreciate you. God bless. Amen. Amen. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Would you like to bring an offering down? Spell Dave Roberson, BRONCFL. No, I'm just kidding. Why don't you all stand together? We'll greet each other for just a few moments, not long, because we want to turn this thing over to the Holy Spirit. He's already got it. We're going to take it to another dimension. But greet each other, and if you have something, if you're making out a check, make out to the Family Prayer Center, and we'll make sure that Pastor Dave gets all of it. Amen. And if you need a little bit more time before you bring this, that's fine. But go ahead and greet one another. Give Sammy a great big hug, and then have a seat. Amen. Thanks a lot, guys. It's blessed in Jesus' name. Worship you, Jesus. We exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lift those hands and magnify him. Father, thank you for these good things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Bless you, Jesus. All the glory. All the glory. This lady here has been, every night you seem to be getting more radiant. Hallelujah. She had not walked in 2.5 years. 2 years. Hardly taken a step, maybe one. And last night she got up for the second time this week. And I took her arm and I thought, well, I'll be careful. And she said, you're not moving fast enough. Man, that's the second time. One time I was in a 5K race and a lady in a baby carriage outran me, went past me. Dave loves to hear me tell that story. But I started escorting her, and she said, "You're just not moving fast enough. We need to get going here." God is doing something wonderful. We have a minister from Puerto Rico here. Gracias. She, 28 churches under the ministry, or for 28 years. 28 years. God bless you. God bless. There'll be you'll be interpreting for her throughout, as you have, as so as Pastor Dave. So if you're watching these talk, they're not over trying to overtalk Pastor Dave. They're interpreting. Hallelujah. One more time, because you love Jesus so much, lift those arms and magnify him. We glorify you, Jesus.
Portuguese, yeah. He ruined me in the first part of the services. The people that stood up here and their testimony, and the people that's been healed, and man, you're reducing me to a sobbing musket or something, you know. When I see him do things and people testify, and I look to the future and from the past, and I think, God, I wouldn't have called me. No, I wouldn't have, because I mean, to me, I'd be a last choice. I mean, he just, everybody died in the desert, and I was the only one left, you know. Because I got D's in English because I couldn't give oral reports. Somebody told me one time, "You overhealed, man." I couldn't. I couldn't. It's not that I didn't want to. I couldn't. And as I continue my testimony, I went to a town that my aunt lived in so I could stay at her house free, because the hall cost $5 a night. And why would anybody invite me? I couldn't speak publicly. So I got my own hall, $5 a night, and got to stay with my aunt. So I ran a $12 ad in the paper. $12. I had $22 tied up almost now. We run that ad, and it says, and kind of copied it off of a friend that had real miracles in his service. I copied his ad, "Plan to attend a miracle service operating in words of knowledge and signs and wonders." And I ran that little ad. Boy, when the time came, and I went to the woodworker's hall on the bottom of a river that was dried out partway, and so it was built on the bank. I go inside. Good thing it had a kitchen that you could hide in. Serving counter, and I closed it, and I could peek through the crack. And a 16-year-old kid, he said, was on his guitar going, "There is power, power, wonder, barking power in the blood of the lamb." And then he'd look back at the counter, and I'd, then he'd sing it again, "There is power, power, wonder, work, and power." Then he'd peek and I'd hide. It was my first time. I never even gave a testimony from the floor. Never. I couldn't. I'd freeze up. I took bad grades because I couldn't give a report in English. So I knew it was now or never. I cracked it open a little and peeked, and he saw me. So I walked the 35 miles to the pulpit. A little plastic mic. And the little plastic mic went through a big reel-to-reel tape recorder. And it was taping it, but it also was a little amplifier. So he had the plastic. And he goes, and now, and he introduced me probably 15 times already, I just wouldn't come out. So now, Dave Roberson, should have heard the other guy introduce me. He says he's called. So he had the little bitty plastic thing on a stand so he could play his guitar. And there's power, wonder work, power. And so he gives me the little plastic. I wanted to eat it. And I memorized the Kenneth Hagin message. You know, Mark 11:23. I memorized the whole message. When I was a young Baptist boy on the bed of affliction, God healed my body. So I memorized that so I could have something to. So I finally got enough courage to take the little mic. It was the affliction. Yeah, and he got healed. Yeah. So I was trying to tell but Kenneth Hagin's. And finally when I got through that, well, I don't know how much sense I made. Not much. I said, then he was healed. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody need prayer? And I was sure I was safe, but to my shock, a woman comes up. I said, oh, you want prayer? She says, yes. And I says, oh, okay. I said, well, put your arms down. And she says, oh, okay. And I said, what's wrong with you? And she says, I can't run. I said, could you say that a little louder? What's wrong with you? My left ear is deaf. And I go, shh. God. I didn't want the crowd to hear. I reached up and I said, shh, don't say that again. So I put my hand over her ear and I went, open, open in Jesus' name. Then I stepped back and I looked around and I said, can you hear me now? She goes, because I was careful to not let anybody know what I was praying for. And she says, can you hear me? She says, I can hear you. I said, you can? Oh my God. She goes, I can hear you. And I go, oh my God. And she should have seen me then. This woman was deaf. Deaf in one ear. And I prayed for her. And she got healed. Anybody else need prayer? I looked at all 12 of them. And sure enough, I saw this guy work miracles, you know. And so I started doing what he did. You know, I had seen him, and that day I fear opened. I said, anybody else need prayer? And I was afraid. Then I remembered how that other guy did. And I said, I'll try that. Put your arms up. I'll try it. Yeah. Okay. I didn't, you know, announce it at first. Like, everybody look. I said, later I'd do this, you know. Guess we're doomed. Only I know somebody. In Jesus' name. While he's setting, how could that happen? And boy, I've seen him do that. And I grabbed that arm, and after all, I had a deaf ear behind me now. And then that old hand went, and it went. And I go. I said, anybody else? And out of that 12, some people start coming up, and sure enough, he would heal them. And I drove home with $30 in my pocket after paying for the hall and staying with my aunt free. I was driving home with $30 in my pocket. I had a whole lot more than that. A whole lot more. I had a confidence to go in front. And had something, a gift from God. Amen. And I rode home. I can't tell you. I wept. I cried. I mean, I couldn't get very far. And I'd weep and almost have to pull over. I says, God, I dreamed. I dreamed about this. I mean, I've just dreamed about it. And you mean to tell me that you're really going to use me? Did you know from that day to this, for my entire life, I've been doing something that I love? I've been doing something that I love. How many people get that break? That every day I get up, I love it because I'm doing exactly what I love to do. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I was in the prayer time, extended prayer, I mean, I walked off my job, and I usually get a whole lot further in this in teaching, but these are the kinds of things that'll put you on a path of prayer, and that's when your life starts changes, when you whip the circumstances and say, I'm going to pray anyway.
Well, I'm gonna control your life. You'll never have another dime.
Oh, shut up. You think I'm not going to pray now or something? Hallelujah, Jesus. So I was just praying and praying, you know, praying and getting ready for the first times I would speak if I could and everything. And that's when they invited me over to that Methodist church. You know, I didn't know nothing about a Methodist church. I was ultra holiness. How would I know what they did? They're having a prayer meeting. I thought a prayer meeting meant you go there and pray. But they wasn't. They had a golden-tongued orator messing around with us and talking. That wasn't how I prayed. I was over there praying in tongues, and I come up here to listen to him.
We know that God is the great celestial go-between the troubled waters of mankind and the omnipotent God.
Do we really? Thank you. Bye. But the woman that come in late, she's in a wheelchair. She come in before me, and she's in a wheelchair. And I didn't know what was wrong with her, but I was just sitting there. And he was orating. I got so bored I was shaking my coffee for excitement. Out of sheer boredom, I just looked up at her, you know, in the wheelchair. Sheer boredom. I was trying to figure out how to get out. When I looked up, it looked like an x-ray. You know, the hip become a clear socket. And I got to look at it, and it was dark around the joint and about two inches down the leg. And I looked at that, and I blinked for a minute, and it stayed for long enough to let me know it wasn't me. I never seen anything like that before. However, I had just been praying for about 15 weeks, something close to 6 to 8 hours a day in the Holy Ghost, because I walked off my job. I'm thinking if I pray the hours I worked, maybe I'd get paid. Well, I was about 2 months into that, or two and a half. So I go to that Methodist church. And I saw the socket. And I went, oh, my God. I says, ma'am, she's elderly. I says, you got trouble in your hip socket? She says,
why, young man, that's what the doctor tells me.
I said, glory to God.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, I mean, can I pray for you? To her, prayer meant, in the course of my day, to bow my head and remember her. That isn't what it meant to me. Can I pray for you? She says, why, yes, young man. I jumped up, run around in front of her, got on my knees while he was orating, and grabbed her foot and pulled it up about that high. Then I grabbed the other one up and pulled it up to take a good look at it. I went, oh, my God, it was about that much shorter than the other one. You know, and I'm going, oh, and I got scared. By that time, I caused such a ruckus, the golden-tongued orator was sending his aide over to stop it. I like how those guys walk. He got there just in time for me to say the word Jesus when I was praying, and I went, oh, my God. Yes. Oh, yeah. In Jesus' name. And it goes, and he got there. He was leaning over my shoulder, and he goes, and she saw it and felt it and went, oh, my God. And I was doing, oh, my God. She said, oh, my God. And the aid of the orator, he got there just in time to see it. And wouldn't you know, the orator was winding his message up with, what's the most outstanding thing you have ever seen God do? And this guy said, we're going, over here. We really messed them up. Over here. He says, well, God doesn't heal today. In that moment, jumped up and got one of her crutches he got for moving around in the house and went after him.
What do you call this, sonny?
She's poking. And thus I was introduced to miracles. I made it outside, made it to a tree. The tree was by the road. And I leaned on the tree and I wept and I wept. I couldn't help it. I'd only dream about those things. But I'm telling you, you got a Father that not only did he give you the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he will receive of mine and show it unto you. But the thing is, that road to everything is an on-purpose road. You can get on it and take one step, one foot in front of the other until you've walked into everything he said you could have. Amen. That's what makes it different. He said, the Holy Spirit will receive of mine and show it unto you. And what did he give us? Can you imagine God loving you so much? You know, the Godhead was meeting, you know, all three of them on the table. The Father was at the head of the table. Son was on the side, and the Holy Spirit was sitting there. And they're looking down through history at us. It says, oh, look at them. Well, after they get the new nature, one thing we'll know, they'll have a new nature again. So surely they'll walk with us. You know, they'll walk in us and everything. They won't go back to sin and stuff. So they watched for a while. They got a new nature, all right. But they still... Yeah, I only had one or two, though. I said, uh-oh, okay, I guess they got a new nature, okay, but I guess, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to probably come up and take a residency on this side of them to represent our power. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, and walking with them, I mean, you, oh my God, they'll really strike. So he comes and baptizes them, and they go, huh?
Be healed. I guess he doesn't do that much anymore. Be healed.
He said, look at them. They got all that power inside, and they can't even get anybody healed. And they don't pray. They don't do nothing. A new nature and the Holy Spirit. I guess it's come to this. Two other Godhead says, comes to what? I guess we're even going to have to do their praying for them. And thus the tongues was introduced. Oh my God. Do you think we can get them just to go Soromara, Sokurama, Dorana? No! Sandorame, Sadokisa, Dorenchantu, La 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 La. No, don't sing. Lama Sokora, Sokotoma, Nomadaska. And he fixed it. Well, you could pray when you were driving, when you were reading your Bible, when you were working. I remember at the mill, the guy come over and says, how come your mouth's always moving? I said, I'll tell you why. I'm praying. He says, oh, okay. He didn't pursue it. I mean, what more could he do for us? So I guess we'll have to do the praying for him. And... He said, well, yeah, but when they hear us praying, then they'll just, then do this and do that and mess it all up. And okay, I guess we'll just have to do the praying in another tongue that we understand for them, and then we can bring it to pass. They won't even know what they prayed at the time. Like you're telling them, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm just gonna be a millionaire and then buy an island and just go out there and move on it and fish the rest of my life. What? And he's got a lifetime call in mind. But he doesn't know he's praying the lifetime call into his life because he's praying in tongues. So you preach on that side, okay? And I'll preach on this side. Get up there. Get up there. So, that little old plastic mic, but it was about that long. And that kid that sang all the songs, I took it. And I said, anybody needs prayer? And that woman come up and That mic was so little, I feel like eating it. I could just went. I'm eating the microphone. Then I did some things because I got D's in English because I couldn't give the oral reports in school. And as a pastor, it always wanted me to testify, but I never could from the floor. I just never, they'd say, testify, and I wouldn't get up. And they'd say, come up, I couldn't. So I just couldn't. So when I came back to town after I answered the call, and I had a van, Volkswagen van, I stopped at the Assembly of God preacher's house, where one, he tried to get me to testify and do things. And I knocked on the door, and I said, remember me? Maybe 9 years passed. He says, he looks at me. And I said, remember, I'm Dave Roberson. And went around with your members here somewhat, Tom Scott. And, well, we were chasing your daughter a lot. You're that Dave Roberson? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, whose van is that? It said Harvest Time Crusades on the side of it. I said, mine. Yours? Yes, sir. Where are you going? I said, I'm coming through here on my way to preach. Not you. Yes, sir, I am. You're a preacher? Yes, sir. He said, when will you come back? I said, in about a week. I'll come back through. He said, will you stop and preach a service for me? I said, yes, sir. Oh, they, Sunday, they broke down. There was no way to explain what that day brought. He said, can you come back? And I said, yes, sir. I went home, finished up what I needed to do. I said, Watsonville, California, and I was in there from Tulsa. So I said, yes, sir, I can come back and let me go. Schedule this. I scheduled it for 1 week, but I was open a month after. The meeting lasted 6 weeks. And many of the people I grew up with come in. It says, this can't be you. I says, it is. He can change anybody's life. I know what I went by the English teacher even. It says, you remember me? And in that time at high school, you'd meet in a room where you could come work on your homework a little and then just go to the classes from there. And that one, they'd try to get you to speak, and I'd never speak. I'd just take the lower grade. And when I stopped by, and I said, you remember me? And she says, do I remember you? I remember you. You're the one that would never get up and say anything. And I said, ma'am, I'm coming through town now. I'm dropping by to see my relatives. And I'm a preacher. She goes, no, you can't be. I said, I am. And you should have heard some of the things she said. She says, I couldn't have ever believed this. She says, I've never seen anything like this. I said, well, ma'am, Jesus has got a hold of me. And he took all that fear away. She says, it must have been. And I wept. I couldn't help. I would break down and cry for my friends that wasn't saved. And we pulled a pretty good harvest out of that area then. But I'm telling you, if you feel like you have a call, you don't have to be able and talented in the area that you believe you're called in. So teaching or preaching. Hey, I couldn't sing, now I can sing now. I don't want an opinion. Come on. I wouldn't have voted on me. How could I? Impossible to give an oral report. I was gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. And that I still could not get up front. Could not do it. And give an oral report. I don't know what the phobia was in that area. Would I be a likely person to call? To be called? I don't think so. Maybe you're not either. You don't know. All things are possible to to him that believes. And here I find myself here now. And he's given me a book. He's given me this. He's given me that. Sometime I go home. I just cry. I say, I can't believe it that you're doing what you're doing. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Sometimes I'll talk to these guys, you know, one-on-one kind of. I help train him, and so I tell him some of the incidents that I don't tell out here because it sounds like you're just drunk on yourself or something. So I don't go into a lot of the things that I've seen. This meeting is, my meetings have been getting different lately. I'm in a transition of some kind. I do know when I come out the other side that a whole lot more is going to be done that's rarely done in a service. Hallelujah, Jesus. You think I planned any of this? I didn't. Listen, I have to say this. I'll tell you what it is. It's a devil that's been attacking not only your emotions, but your mind. And in this attack, the weapons of our warfare are mighty to pulling down a stronghold. So a stronghold is a system of thought empowered by emotion. Very powerful emotion. So that this is what is labeled as a stronghold. And this thing has become a stronghold. And it's one of the main reasons that people will commit suicide. He'll pound them to pieces and just keep hammering and pounding on them until. Now, I wouldn't say anything like this. You don't hear me say anything like this in a service unless it's really here and it's at a dangerous position. That's when that's the case. It's not my choice whether I want to pass it up or not. But I can tell you this. I know how to stop that devil. Now, it would be best for you to get over it. Because for you to get over it and delivered, then you're not going to have to be concerned with it in the future. See, so you won't have to care who knew that this attack came or who did not. Because a lot of times that devil will succeed. I've seen it too often. But I want you to know he brought this whole part of the service to a standstill to talk to you. You don't want to not finish your call, do you? How many believes they're here? The top of the list would be if you come up here. That would be the top of the list. This means you don't care. You're putting it behind. You don't care. And you'll fulfill your ministry now. You do know that. But I heard it pretty much right down here. Heard it. He's not going to do that to you. You're going to pull a switch and bring a lot of people home with you. And he better get out of here. He better get out of here. I mean, you're not possessed or nothing. He torments you with this system of thought. And he better get out of here before we get mean with him. And what do you think's coming on you now? He is healing that whole system the devil's been trying to use. And that even includes changing the circumstances. So, Father, I got down to the end of his row and heard this. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, he's so free. I can even see you handling the word. It's free, free indeed.
How did you know?
You know how I knew. This is real. This is real. This is church. Well, we'd rather have three songs and a testimony. You're in the wrong place.